times has to break us so that it can shape us in a different way, so that we can be relevant and we can be useful for the purpose that he wants us for. Because I know, talking about myself, we can get set in our ways, can't we? And then we're no longer relevant to what is happening at this time. God says he does a new thing, doesn't he, sometimes? And we have to be watching for it, don't we? And we have to be willing to change. My title this morning is just Lumps of Clay. And you'll see why as we go to the reading in Jeremiah 18. And I'm just going to read the first six verses. Excuse me. Sorry, Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. I'm just going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. The word which came from Jeremiah, from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good for the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so you are in my hands, O house of Israel." Let's ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we pray that as we look at it this morning, that it will be relevant to us. Lord, we will understand it, we'll be able to apply it to our lives. Lord, it will make us better Christians, Lord, and more useful to your service. Amen. Amen. When you look at some Bible verses, we as human beings are, in a literal sense, pottery. We're described as pottery, we're described as clay, as in this reading here. We've been formed from clay. And if you think about it, God physically shaped Adam from the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth is mixed with water, is clay, isn't it? And God physically formed him, and then he breathed the breath of life into him. We are all humans, and the word that is linked to humans is humus, if you've heard this before, which means earth or clay. So you can see how the name sort of fits together. Paul referred to our bodies as jars of clay in 2 Corinthians 4, which we're going to look at just a little bit at the end. When I was young, there was a toy that came out, and it was called the potter's wheel. I know this is decades ago now, but maybe some of you people, can anybody remember it? You have one. You might be relevant to my application this morning then. And I can remember seeing the potter's wheel on the telly and being in awe of it. You know how when you're a child, they deliberately put adverts on in between children's programs so that you see these things. And I saw this potter's wheel and I thought, won't mind one of them. Unfortunately, I never got one. I must not have expressed my want of one of these things enough. But I never got one. But you know what they are, don't they? The little wheel, what had a little mortar or whatever. And you could make little pots out of it and sort of try to be a bit of a potter, which probably resulted in disaster most times, I would have thought. Has anyone actually had a go on a potter's wheel? You obviously have had a go on the little one. Yeah? Have you had a go on the big ones, the real ones? Yeah. How did you get on?
Not very well.
Did you make anything that looked like a pot or manage to stand? Or some people did, some people didn't. The thing about the potter's wheel is that it's a skill. You know, that the potter has to know exactly the right consistency for the clay, and if there's not enough, he puts a little bit more water on it, and he knows just how much he can stretch it, you know, how to pull it and push it until he gets the thing, the shape that he wants. If he just held it like that, it would just get something thin. But if he wanted something that was a bulb or whatever, he's got to, like, draw it out, hasn't he, and shape it back, and that is a skill. Those people who have tried this will understand what he's saying in verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to him to make. When you were working your potter's wheel, or if you've seen a potter and it suddenly all goes, what does he do? Puts it all back into a bowl, slaps it back on, and just starts again. And that's what was happening in this picture. As Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, he made the pot, started making the pot, and it all went wrong, and he had to start again. a little bit too much pressure or a little bit too much water and it's all gone, it falls flat and crushes. Now the hands of the potter, because he does it every day, become very sensitive and skillful to bits of hard stuff in the clay and all sorts of things, and he learns how to handle it properly, just right, to make something that is useful for his purpose. He doesn't make every single pot the same, because that would be no good, would it? Everyone is different and has a different purpose. Let's look at this prophecy in Jeremiah, which clearly says that we are clay in God's hands. The first thing I noticed about it from verse 2 is that God said to Jeremiah was that he told him to go down to the potter's house and watch the potter at work. Now, sometimes, I suppose Jeremiah and we sometimes think that if God wants to tell us anything, he'll just tell us. You know, maybe through a sermon or while we're praying, or maybe an audible voice, God will just say, you know, you're like lumps of clay, I want to remould you. You've got to do it. But in this instance, and I think as we look later on sometimes in our lives, God wanted Jeremiah to go and actually see the physical thing of the pot being made, go down to the potter's house and to watch him. See firsthand what was going on. Like, it's like a life experience, isn't it? God could easily explain to him better when he saw firsthand what was happening. I think sometimes that's what God does for us. He shows us through life experiences what he wants us to do, rather than just telling us. I don't know about you, but I like watching telly. I do like listening to radio, but it's a different thing when you watch TV. You've got a lot more stimulation, haven't you? Yeah, you've got the sound with the radio. But when you watch TV, you've got all the picture. You know, you can see, and the picture paints 1,000 words, as it says, doesn't it? You know, it would take 1,000 words to describe sort of what this bit of paper looked like in detail. But yeah, I can just show it here in a second. Sometimes God needs to do that with us, doesn't he? Through life experiences. You know, he shows us things that are true and lifelike to explain spiritual things. When you think about a lot of famous characters in the Bible, God brought them to life experiences, times when he showed them something physical and very practical in front of them to explain what he wanted them to do. Life-changing experiences with God, which changed their lives and really helped them grasp what God wanted them to do. God often says in the Bible and to us, and probably will in the future, go and do, so that he can speak to us when we get there, when we do the thing that he told us to do, then he speaks to us. If you think about the word that Jeremiah, before Jeremiah had to give it, he had to receive it, and for him to receive it first, what happened? He had to go and watch the potter. God just didn't give him the word. He let him go and watch the potter, and then in verse 3 and 4 it says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter." And then in verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," and the explanation of what was going on. So God's word didn't happen and come to Jeremiah until after he'd done the thing what he was told to do. After he'd been and seen the potter actually destroy the pot and build it into something else. God is quite a practical God, isn't he? So Jeremiah saw firsthand how a pot was shaped from a lump of clay. Then he saw how easily it could be spoiled in the hands of the potter, even someone that was skilled. Then how easily it could be reformed into something else because of the skill of the potter. And then the word of the Lord came. Then God asked the question to the people of Israel, "Can I do with you as the potter has done with the clay? Aren't you clay in my hands, or like clay in my hands? Don't I have the power over the clay to make whatever I want?" And he's asking these questions to the people of Israel, who at that time were sort of well away from God and not doing what they should be. A very simple explanation of what God was wanting Jeremiah to tell the people is that God could make, crush, or reshape any people or nation as he pleased. He had total control. And if Israel didn't mend their ways, they too would find themselves in the hands of an angry God. God was giving them a chance. They needed to be reshaped, made fit for purpose again. They were no longer suitable vessels for God's glory or to be God's people. And in these few verses, there is a message for us as God's people. We have to be asking God to make us suitable vessels to contain the glory, his glory, to do his will, to do his bidding, to make us fit for purpose as the pot had to be. The first thing that I thought about is that we all need to be pliable in God's hands. We can't get set and rigid in our ways, can we? Because that would never do. How would God shape a pot that has already been put through the kiln and is solid? It would just break and shatter. We need to be able to move as God says. We need to let God reshape our lives. And in future, if he needs to, do other things with us. But we need to be able to be reshaped. The hard part is when he needs to squash us back into a lump of clay and then reshape us into something useful. I think at times, sometimes even as Christians in our lives, we feel like that we've been thumped back into a lump of clay, don't we? And we think, God, what's happening here? I think what the problem is that we often think that we know best and shape or reshape our own lives and careers and Christian lives as we see fit. And God watches us until one day he says, you know, that's not how it's meant to be. That's not what I planned for your life and your service to be like. You aren't suitable for my plan, so it's going to take a rebuild, a refurb or a reshape to get you in line with God again. When you think about this story of the potter, he got to that point where he knew that the pot was going to be no good. There was no point continuing anymore because it was marred, you know, and he had to start again. And he has to squash the clay back into something basic and shapeless before he can start to work out and draw up a beautiful pot by his skillful hands. And that can be what happens to us at times in our Christian lives. God simply needs to reshape us into something useful for service. And we've gotten so far off track, it's easier just for him to start again. That's the point when we think, God, why have you crushed my hopes and dreams? Sometimes we've been in those places, I'm sure we have. You think, God, what's happening? I don't understand. That is these times maybe when God is, you know, having to take us back to basics. God is saying, I need to have control of your life, your utter trust in me, that we can allow him to start from the bottom again. Let me shape you and your life from scratch and we'll make something beautiful together. Make something from your life which is exactly what God wanted it to be from the start. Make you into a suitable and beautiful and strong receptacle and carrier of God's glory in this world, in your world, in the circle that you move, in my world, in the circle that I move. When we think about our lives as Christians, squashing and reshaping hurts. It's the time when things hurt. But yet it yields a beautiful end product if we're willing to let God have his way in our lives. Just going to look at two verses from 2 Corinthians now, which I mentioned earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 9. This is what it says. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. It's a sort of lovely, powerful few verses for us to think about this morning. These verses really show that we, as weak earthen vessels, can hold and use the excellency of the power of God. Yes. And that's amazing, isn't it? We can be instruments of God's awesome power. The treasure, as it mentions here, of power is God's, not ours. But he wants us to have it and to use it. The word used here for excellence, if I can pronounce this right, is hyperbole. And I'll read you the meaning of that. It means beyond, to throw beyond. The primary idea of that, of excellence, superiority, excess, and preeminence. It's describing the power of God, not us. But it says this sort of power can be at work in us as we allow God to pour it into us. This awesome power of God is available to fill us and to make us useful for God's service, to make us relevant in the time that we are serving. I quite often think, what would happen if we tried to spread the gospel in the way that Jesus did in Bible times? If we went and sat in a field and started preaching, do you think the people would come out to hear us? Probably not, would they? Because different times need different ways of doing things, don't they? And God knows that. He knows a lot, everything, doesn't he? More than us. What worked in Bible times wouldn't work now. That's why we have to be malleable in the hands of God like soft clay. Yeah. Yet the miracle is that we are capable of holding and moving and giving out God's glory and power in this world. The shape, if a Christian had a shape in Bible times, is not the same shape as a Christian now. It's the same principles, it's the same power which is God's, but different forms as to be effective in a different world and to be relevant in our time. We have to be willing to let God squash what we are and have in anticipation of what he will make us into. That's what we need to do, isn't it? That's how we need to be. There's a verse in the Bible what says God makes all things beautiful in his time. Not in our time, but in his time. And the way I sort of think about that is that God makes all things beautiful in the era that they exist. You know, we have to be beautiful now to show God, don't we? To show God to people on this earth. But it can only be done if we're malleable, if we're movable, if the clay is soft. You know, if we let God shape us. And maybe that takes a flattening. As we do this, as we're filled with the power of God, one of the things that happens is that we become strong. And what happens in what it says in verse 8 becomes a reality. We're hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed, because the power of God is in us. Not crushed, not in despair, not forsaken, not destroyed, because the power of God is in us, and he's shaped us to cope with these things. Because we, as weak vessels, hold and carry in our everyday lives the excellency of the power of God, hyperbole, a power that holds us and directs us and protects us as we do whatever he has designed us to do. Amen.